The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, podcast listeners, if you would like to support the show and be rewarded, head over to patreon.com/GilbertGottfried. For just a small amount each month, you, the listener, can get some colossal benefits. Get access to new podcast episodes before anyone else. Join me on exclusive video hangouts. Get a shout-out from me on Twitter. I will even read your advertisement, speech, or manifesto on the show. Go to patreon.com/GilbertGottfried. That's Patreon. patreon.com/GilbertGottfried. Thank you for listening and support the show, for the love of God. Until now, getting a razor as a present was the worst present you could ever get. Because it was always cheap present. It was always looked like a last-minute thing. Like, you didn't care about that person, so at the last second, you got them a razor. But with Harry's, it's totally different. You can send Harry's razors for birthdays or for anniversaries. It comes in a nice package, and it's got everything you need for a great shave. And the razors are top quality razors, where you shave yourself, and I mean, this is the smoothest shave I've ever gotten. So I not only get them for me, but I would give them for birthdays and anniversaries and maybe even other holidays that I don't know about. So, go to harrys.com now, and Harry's will give you $5 off if you type in the coupon code GILBERT with your first purchase. That's harrys.com. And enter coupon code GILBERT at checkout for $5 off, and start shaving better today.
Bye, Harry Makers! It's so funny!
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre. Our guest today is one of the funniest, bravest, and busiest stand-up comics in the business. He's also a writer, an occasional actor in movies like Judd Apatow's Funny People and Louis C.K.'s cult classic Pootie Tang. He's the host of the shows Insomniac, Comedy Underground with Dave Attell, and Dave's Old Porn, a show he never invited me on despite my extensive familiarity with the subject. He's also the second youngest guest to be on our show, making him the only guest who hasn't had prostate surgery. Ladies and gentlemen, our pal, Dave Attell.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Okay.
There's a lot of credits.
Now, were you discovered by Arthur Godfrey like a lot of...
Well, I really jump right into it here on the podcast. Yes. What is the name of the podcast, first of all?
Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Wow. And with that,
sort
we
of
jump
an
right
homage.
Into old movies.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an homage to a movie,
Amazing Colossal Man.
Was that before or after Goonies? Sorry. Sorry, guys.
See...
Being the youngest guest ever on the on the podcast.
Well, Arthur Godfrey was a massive Jew hater. Yeah. He's a total scumbag and a massive Jew hater.
Put it in perspective, like if Arthur Godfrey and Hitler were together, would Hitler go like, take it down?
Yeah.
Take it easy, buddy. Whoa, roll up.
Hey,
chill out.
Come on.
Chill out.
Artie.
Although we had Ken Berry on the show, we tried desperately to get him to say something unkind about Arthur Godfrey.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he wouldn't go for it.
Yeah.
Here's my recollection of Ken Berry. I always think of him dancing, but wearing like girl sneakers.
Yes.
I think it was the style at the time in the early 60s.
He was a Kinney shoe spokesman for a while.
There you go. That's the connection. Yeah. Thank you, Frank.
Yeah. And did you ever see Ken Berry's show, Wow?
No, was that, what years are we talking here?
73, 74, the Ken Berry Wow Show.
Those were hard years for me. I was on tour with Guess Who.
Oh,
Guess really?
Who. Wow. Yeah. See, it
back
was
from the NOM.
The Wow Show was kind of like an even more dated version of Laughing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But Terry Garr was in the stock company. And
great.
Steve Martin. And a bunch of people that were never heard from again.
Carl Gottlieb.
Carl Gottlieb, wrote Jaws.
Yes, who Arthur Gottlieb hated.
Can I say one thing about Terry Garr and Young Frankenstein?
Yes.
That movie is a boner fest.
Oh,
you think about it.
She was very hot.
Oh, wow, stunning. And, you know, there is that creepiness with, Marty Feldman. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, with his crooked eyes.
I like that, yeah. I like a little creep in it, you know?
Yes. Now, I was shocked to hear, and I almost canceled you being on the show.
What happened?
When I heard you did jokes about the tsunami.
The tsunami. Which tsunami are we talking about? Because there's been so many lately. You can't pick a favorite. No, I said the tsunami is God's money shot, and I said that a long time ago, and then that joke has been repurposed by many people. You know, the tornado is God's reach round, and, you know, whatever. The format has been, I believe, hacked.
Yeah.
Look how quiet it gotten.
Yeah. Did you think it was wrong to joke about the tsunami?
Oh, the tsunami? Well, I mean, in hindsight, you know, seeing what a career breaker it is.
Yes.
Leave the tsunami alone. I was totally on your side in terms of what happened to you with that tweet. Was it a tweet?
Yeah, a couple of tweets.
One of several.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a tweet can get you fired, but a brick through a window, nobody cares.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm just saying, as a store owner.
And yet, what was the tsunami before the Japanese one?
The tsunami before that.
Was there? There was the earthquake
was.
In Haiti.
No, it was the was one in the. I thought yours was the Indonesian tsunami that you got upset on.
No, mine was the Japanese.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What was it? Was it Haiti or
our research team is looking it up.
Yeah, we're looking
we'll get
up.
Back to
we're
you.
Looking up.
We're going from Arthur Godfrey to tsunami.
Our favorite tsunami.
At least you've moved past this.
Yes,
Gilbert.
Yes, because there was a... Do you remember the sitcom, Our Favorite Tsunamis, with Dan Daly?
With
See, the Indian Ocean, no one gave a fuck
Nobody
about
cares.
That one.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. It just
I mean, look at the world we live in now. Like a tsunami is almost a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And you're probably wondering how our mayor would handle that.
Since we're talking about this, Dave,
sure.
and the hot water Gilbert got in for the tsunami joke. Mm-hmm. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Has there ever been a joke that really created more trouble than it was worth?
Oh, I've had like my situations with jokes and all that, but I would say the thing about Gilbert is that he's out there more on the media Like, you're a tech guy. Like, you're out there tweeting and all that kind of stuff. I do the bare minimum. You know, I don't enjoy doing it. I feel like I'm too old to do it. And I know you get some guests on here. I assume Henry Winkler must do it. Or Adam West.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, people doing it for them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, yeah. I'm kind of the same situation. I have people helping me do stuff. But I would say that most of my troubles with jokes always happen in the clubs, you know? Just somebody screaming, "You suck," or "That's not funny," or, you know, "My aunt died from a deer attack." Something like that. I remember there was like a wave of ironic deaths, and you could not, like, oh, an icicle killed my grandpa, you know, and you can't make fun of anything, you know? Do you remember this? No?
Well, you know what's so funny? It's like whenever the most recent death is, like, yeah, if someone's killed by a deer attack, mm-hmm, and then they'll show like a cartoon or TV show with a guy dressed as a deer that was made like 2 years earlier,
right,
they'll go, "How dare they think that deers are funny?
Yes.
Don't we know they commit tragic murders?"
I have no idea what a deer is. What is that, a gay dog? What is it? Does anybody know? I live in the city. I don't know these things.
Santa Claus got pulled by gay dogs.
You know, here's the thing.
Yes.
I really never knew you that well, but I love that you do my Comedy Underground show because I think that you are the best. Nobody takes it as far as you, and no one. What I like about you is you never let go of a joke. Other guys
that's for
decide
sure
to stop. You never do. You grind it, and I like that. You really do. You are the Viet Cong, buddy. You just never stop. You never sleep.
You should listen to the Steve Cox episode of this podcast.
Who is Steve Cox again?
He's a writer, an LA-based writer. But Gilbert was shined in that particular episode.
I got hooked on. See, because you're familiar with Danny Thomas's fetish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I don't know about his fetish. What, children's hospitals?
No.
Is that a kink now to help children?
That's a real fetish of his.
Him and Marlo?
Allegedly. Mm-hmm. I have to throw in. Danny Thomas would lie under a glass coffee table, and he'd have hookers take a shit on the table.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a legend.
Yeah, we have to say that, just in case Marlo's listening.
That might be a cultural thing, you know. I think he's Mid-Eastern.
Lebanese.
In Lebanon.
Maybe that's their bingo. That could be their monopoly. Who knows?
Bingo.
Every man in Lebanon has a glass coffee table. And
it's their version of toss across.
They ship in on a private jet. Shit.
Look at all the good he's done. You know, I mean, really. Look at the whole man. I mean, you know, it's
the whole man.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's the whole. It's
definite.
Like a, yeah.
We definitely mean the whole man.
Now, Danny Thomas was in Make Room for Daddy, right?
Make Room for Duty.
Yes.
Now, did you watch that as a boy? Was that like one of your shows?
Yes.
What were your shows growing up? You come home from school, right?
Oh, well, I like Get Smart.
Well, take me through the whole thing. You come home from school after a vicious bullying. Because I cannot see you not being bullied.
There were many.
Old school bullying. Books, glasses, your short pants being pulled down or wedgied.
And that was back when bullying was accepted part of growing up.
It was. Yeah. Character building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, only later it became a thing.
Bullies. Everybody's so sensitive now.
I'd be curious, what did you watch when you came home?
Yeah, come home.
Well, I remember in the afternoon they'd have Captain Jack McCarthy show Popeye cartoons.
Three bells and all as well.
When I was in elementary school, I was a few blocks from my house, so I would watch Captain Jack McCarthy show those. But then they changed it over to Bewitched, which I watched but didn't like it as much.
I would watch both of those. I would watch Popeye and then Bewitched. I would watch that too.
Did you want to fuck Elizabeth Montgomery?
I guess I did, but I was more of an I Dream a Genie. That I think was like the first actual, like, wow, look at that. That's a woman, you know? And Barbara Eden. I mean, still beautiful. You know?
Oh, yeah.
She must be a genie because she really is holding up well, don't you think?
Yeah, oh, yes. And we spoke to another Barbara, Barbara Felden.
Oh, you did?
Agent 99. Also looks great.
Which yeah. I, by the way, think that is a underrated show, Get Smart.
Get Smart, I
love it. I yeah. love it. And what's his name? The guy who played Jaime?
Dick Gaudier.
Yes, we were just talking about getting him on the show if he's not dead.
No, he's not. he's a celebrated artist. He's a painter.
99% of the guests on the show are dead. Yeah.
That's fine. My career died here. I assume my career is dead on the elevator ride up to your apartment. But Gilbert, I have to tell you, like that Get Smart, I think that was like there was so many great jokes in there, you know? And who was the lead guy again? What's his name?
Don Adams.
Now, Don Adams, interesting thing, in World War II, he was a, you know, the graves registration guys? The guys who, like, when all the guys would die in the battle, he'd have to go over there and put the tag on the toe and all that kind of stuff. He did that. I believe that was his job in the military.
Wow.
And it supposedly affected him for the rest of his life. So I guess when they would say cut, he would go into this nightmarish flashback. You know, start slapping around Jaime, and
that's a great way to say masturbation.
Yeah, whatever it
slapping
is,
slapping around Jaime. I was so pleased that the Get Smart movie, which wasn't good,
no.
Which one, the nude bomb?
The new Get Smart.
The Steve Carell.
Steve Carell and what's her name?
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
chemistry.
What? Oh, yeah.
The chemistry there.
But I was glad that they cast Patrick Warburton as Jaime.
I don't know who that is.
Because he was the guy who played Putty.
Oh,
the guy from Rules of Engagement.
When I first saw him, I said, that guy reminds me of Dick Gaudier. He had that same deadpan big guy style about him.
So was that the show that, like, so now you're home, right? So that's, like, your afternoon show.
Yeah,
so having a snack.
I like Get Smart. I like Ronan Martin's laughing.
I didn't really get that show. I didn't see what it was. I know it was subversive and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I assume you would be more of a Smothers Brothers man.
I did like the Smothers Brothers, although I kind of felt when they were getting too political.
Yes.
After a while, it was getting like, all right, you know, just...
Right.
Just say, Mom always liked you best.
I know you're sitting there holding your Nixon in 74.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to ask you guys this because you guys know TV better than me. How does, like, the Smother Brothers are still alive?
They
right?
sure are.
Oh, yes.
And that was like two seasons, and then they were thrown off the air because of their support.
I'm working with Tommy next month.
How did they get through the many years without money coming in? Did they tour? What did they do?
That I don't know.
Don't you want to know this, Gilbert? I want to know.
We should have asked. We had David Steinberg on the show.
He must be him and Sid Caesar, I believe, probably were the master of budgets. They must have ate like every other year. This is the year I can't eat. And then I got $8.
You know, if we get Tommy on the show, that's a good question. I think they played clubs and they played Vegas.
Yeah.
For a while, they had an act.
They must have, like, written for other people or something. I don't know. They must have done something.
Yeah, I'm sure they did a lot of
life
performing.
And that wasn't today's TV money. You know, that wasn't, like, huge money. I don't even know what I guess they paid you in pot or something back in that era.
Tommy did a lot of guest spots, TV, did a couple of movies. He's in a Bill Persky movie called Serial.
Oh.
Martin Mull and Tuesday Weld. So he worked a little bit.
Yeah.
Tuesday Weld. Mm.
Yeah, it's another one.
Nice.
And then David Steinberg fucked Tuesday Weld.
He did?
Yes.
This is news to me.
Yes.
Wow.
David Steinberg fucked Tuesday Weld.
Wow.
And he said he one time met Orson Welles. And he, you know, he's, of course, thrilled to meet Orson Welles. And they were talking, and Orson Welles goes, so you were having sex with Tuesday Weld. And he knew this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we open the window to let some of your ancient gossip out? Anything on Cleopatra?
Yeah, we got some dirt on her.
Wow.
We had David Steinberg on this show for an hour, and he buried the lead.
Yes.
Never mentioned it.
Yeah.
He's a class act. That's what we call it, a class act. Now, David Steinberg, like, where did he come from? Like, he has to be, like, some kind of, like, a professor. Like, what happened?
Canada.
Canadian
guy.
Yeah. There you go.
He came on the scene about the same time as Robert Klein.
Oh, okay.
As the college-educated Jews in Germany.
That's when it became like, you know, there are Jews and they're going to college. Yeah. Which brings up one of my favorite movies, Goodbye Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great
one. Which Dick Benjamin.
Yeah, we talked about getting him for the show, too.
Yeah.
Jack Lugman.
Dick Benjamin, I believe, is the prototype Asperger guy. You know, he kind of like, he's a low talker. He's nervous. He's no eye contact. He's that kind of guy.
And he directed Gilbert in a movie.
He did.
No, he never.
Oh, you didn't
I didn't get that part.
Get
that
part. Ah,
I
stand
auditioned.
Corrected.
I auditioned for a great
Haunted Honeymoon. What was the movie?
No.
That was Gene Wilder.
Even better, I auditioned for and didn't get My Stepmother's an Alien.
Oh, I'm with sorry.
Dan
about
Aykroyd.
That.
Yeah. Just...
Bullet dodged.
Mm.
Yes.
That was a Spirit Award performance.
So, what about you, Dave? Coming home from school.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Thank you.
What did you? What were your passions?
What didn't I watch? I was a fat, a fat kid with asthma. So TV was my best friend, and I would start watching like you know, because I guess you could say I'm a generation behind Gilbert. So we'd watch all the Scooby-Doo's, of course, and you know, then we'd work our way into I guess you could say the live action stuff, like the H.R. Puffin stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then as the evening rolled in. We would work our way through, you know, one of my favorite shows, The Magician with Bill Bixby.
Oh, wow. That's a reference.
Who, by the way, you're talking about prostate. That's how he went down.
They say he was directing Blossom in his last years. And they say he would collapse to the floor in pain. And then after a while, they had him directing. They would bring out a couch.
Wow.
And he would lie down on the couch and direct the show because he was in such tremendous pain.
You sure it wasn't just the show Blossom that did it? I could never sit through a whole one. What was her thing? She was a 6, but she had the brain of a 12.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I never got that show.
That might be Small Wonder you're thinking of. Poor Bill Bixby.
Small wonder. Oh, well, either way, yeah, Bill Bixby, that was a great show because he was a magician.
Sure.
And, you know, he had the African-American friend who was his, I guess, bodyguard, and they would fly around on a plane, and
who
he would use his magic to solve murders and crimes.
Who
and,
was his African-American friend?
He was a big, bald, black guy, really good guy. And, you know,
got a research team on Bill Bixby and the magician.
Let's see. Nobody's Flip coming Wilson to my, had hair.
Not Flip Wilson.
I was... finally, I you guys are the perfect guys. Like, I just read Flip Wilson's, I guess, biography. Did you guys read that?
No.
Flip Wilson, by the way, who was, I think my dad loved him, was like the first really crossover comic. He was, like Cosby was, but then Flip Wilson really was like the guy who was like, he had the top show in America, I believe, in the early 70s.
Everybody watched his show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Flip was, you know, he was really a trip, that guy. He really, you know, all the characters. And I know you love characters.
Yeah.
You do. And he also would do the dressing up as a woman, which that doesn't seem to play the way it used to, the dressing up as a woman.
Every single black comic now seems to dress up as a big, fat black woman.
I think you're only thinking of Tyler Perry.
Well, no, Eddie Murphy.
Uh-huh.
Martin Lawrence.
Right.
Yeah.
Just not to interrupt, but the actor is Julian Christopher.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Well, let's get him.
Well, I have a lot of other great shows that I would watch. And then there's like the shows from my, I guess, teens that really had an impression on me, like Magnum P.I. That's Tom Selleck. This is before Blue Bloods and his other many shows, his Friends appearance. He really, that show was really kind of like a, you know, before like a, before there was porn, there was that show. I would just watch it and it would get me like aroused.
Okay, here's something.
You never watched that show though. You probably were in the clubs by that point.
Yeah, I remember years ago, they would refer to Charlie's Angels. They would write about it and talk about it like this was porn.
Jiggle
oh
TV.
Yes.
They used to call it.
Yes.
And I watched that even as a horny kid. I watched it and goes, where's the sexy part of this show?
Yes.
Do you remember Network Battle of the Stars where they would get all the, like, Carol Wayne and all the buxom.
Carol
Wayne.
Yeah,
those were good.
Angelian, and they'd get them all. And
Donna Dixon.
Donna Dixon, all of them. Mm.
The Solid Gold Dancers, that was porn.
That was a different, no, I don't think I was ready for that yet. But, you know, in the pre-interview, we talked about like Star Trek and things like that. And I assume that, you know, you're not really a nerd, are you? You're not into...
No, I'm a really cool guy.
You're a cool guy. A tastemaker, as they call
it. I'm totally hip.
But Star Trek was never your thing.
Never got into Star Trek.
And how about Star Wars? Were you into that?
I hated Star Wars.
You hated it?
Hated Star Wars.
Interesting.
Did
I didn't know
walk
that about
out
you.
In, yeah. In like a
No,
disgust?
I watched the whole thing, but I remember at the end, I went, I don't get it.
No. I don't get it.
But we are all Planet of the Apes fans.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. So
did you like the Three Stooges? I love the Three Stooges.
You know what?
Stooges.
I have to tell you that I didn't really like it. I had three brothers.
Wow.
I had two brothers, so it was a little too close to home. And we did, you know, that was back when people would beat each other up. So we really were, like, fighting each other all the time, lighting stuff on fire.
So it was too autobiographical.
It was too autobiographical. Yeah. And I never got the whole idea of why are they, what's their origin story? Like, why are they, are they orphans? Like, where are they going? Are they, like, searching for parents?
Which is origin story.
Yeah, and where are they? Oh, they're, like, in some... What town are they? They're in some weird town. It's, like, it's not a coastal town.
You know what got me years ago?
Kansas City or something.
With movies and TV shows like Abbott and Costello's TV show.
That I watched.
Is that the idea of men... who were partners.
Yeah.
And they were totally straight.
Yeah. Right.
But sharing an apartment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They lived together. They slept together.
Right.
Like the Stooges.
Yeah.
And they call themselves partners, but there was nothing gay about that.
Nothing at all. They were like down on their luck. It's like the Depression or something.
Yes.
Nobody can afford gay. Like they didn't even, they wish they could afford gay. There was no gay back then. Yeah. They was just hungry and eating.
Yeah.
I think Bud and Lou may have shared a bed on
yes,
the old Abbott and
yes.
Costello show.
And the Stooges were
yeah.
always.
Yeah, and
like,
Laurel and Hardy, yeah. too.
Oh, yes.
Who would you watch? I think the Stooges is kind of like porn. You really only watch it alone. You don't invite friends over. It's like, let's watch some Stooges. Do you?
If they're into the Stooges.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Or while we're talking about obscure TV, Dave, our mutual friend Dave Juskow
yeah.
insisted that I ask you about a show called Arc 2.
Well, this has got to be out of you guys. Like, I'm sorry. This is no way that you guys watch this show. This is the geekiest show out there. There's a thing called Saturday Morning TV. This is before the, where you could, like, decide to watch whatever you want on Saturday yeah. morning. You had to watch whatever they put up there. And they had the show. It was about a post-apocalyptic world where these people, it was a blonde Norwegian-looking ABBA-type dude, a beautiful Asian woman, and a chimp that talked, and they're all dressed up as dentists. And they travel around in this post-apocalyptic world. They have weapons, but none of them hurt anybody. And they just solve... it's all about the environment and stuff like that. It was like a 70s kind of show.
Did their weapons have that TV laser gun sound of...
No, they had like a bright light.
Yeah.
I remember that was the thing to scare off like the mutants. And then there was a lot of... I'm glad Dave brought that up because that's like one of our connection. That's a really good show for us. We both enjoyed that
and
show.
And who was on it?
I don't know. I told you the
biggest 15
guy.
Episodes. Helen Hunt did a guest spot on it. We looked
oh,
it up
really?
Before you got here.
But let's... Helen Hunt, what won't you do? You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
It's Arc 2 or... the show with what's it? Paul Reiser. You know him, right?
Yes. Helen Hunt, though, she did this movie, what was it? Something Dance. Water Dance.
Water Dance, yeah, with Eric Stoltz.
And
not for me.
He's crippled. He's working for his Academy Award by being a cripple in a movie. But
yes.
She has sex with him, and she had a great body back in the day.
She did, yeah.
Yeah.
Fully loaded, as we say.
Yes.
There's a couple of people like that that, you know, you just look at them and you're like, wow, not bad, you know? Like, who is the... I also like the actresses that like are like hiddenly they're Jewish. You know what I'm saying? But they never play a Jewish part.
Oh yeah. Well, Helen Hunt.
Helen, is she Jewish?
She's a Jew.
No way. What about Melanie Griffin? No way.
Melanie Griffin? No.
What about? Let's go through the.
In fact, Melanie Griffin. Mm-hmm. She did that World War II movie with Michael Douglas.
Shining Through? Maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, she's Tippi Hedren's daughter, so she couldn't possibly be Jewish.
Tippi Hedren.
And so they asked her, to show how bright Melanie Griffith is, they said they asked her what she learned studying up for that movie, that World War II movie, and she said, I didn't know they killed 6 million Jews.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely not Jewish.
Wow. That's her tsunami joke.
Yes,
right
yes.
there.
And then she covered up for it by saying, I thought it was just a few thousand.
You know how they exaggerate?
Yeah.
She did the little quotes in the air. You know them, they're emotional.
You could see her PR people going, no, shut up,
don't,
shut up.
Don't.
Should we cross Melanie Griffith off the invite list?
Yes, I guess so.
I don't think she's the right cut for the show.
Oh, secretly sexy. Well, yeah. Barbara Feldon.
She's Jewish, of course.
No, she wasn't a Jew at all.
What about Barbara Eden? Was she Jewish?
No.
I figured with that Jewish name, Eden. That's somewhere in the Braun family.
Who are some other sexy...
I'm trying to think of the woman. She always looks like she's from the Ozarks, but she's beautiful cheekbones, dark.
What was she in?
She was in the movie where the haunted house was having sex with her all the time. I believe it's called The Changeling or something.
The haunted house was having sex with her.
Sorry.
The Changeling is the one with George C. Scott and the haunted wheelchair.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I love George C. Scott. Yeah, Day of the Dolphin was a
too.
Big movie for me.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
Fa, love, be, not. You know that whole thing they were doing there? I believe that's coding. I don't know what they're actually talking about.
And George C. Scott was also in...
Hardcore.
Yeah, Hardcore.
Ah, there
hardcore.
You go.
That's
there
my go. Daughter!
There you go. That's a great one. Which was basically The Searchers.
Yes.
It was basically John Ford's The Searchers put into the world of porn.
Yes.
That was old. That was in San Francisco, right? That was like old San Francisco.
Yeah.
Did you ever work there in the 70s or anything like that?
No.
80s? No? Mm.
But, and George C. Scott also did...
Patton.
Yeah, Patton.
That was a great one.
You know, Patton was a Jew hater.
Oh, what?
Yes.
I heard he had a little mousy voice, and that George C. Scott said, I'm not going to play him like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to play him. But yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard,
and
I've heard
there's
that.
Recordings of him going, I hate the Jews.
Really?
I'm going to fight Hitler, but I hate the Jews.
Yes.
And George C. Scott decided not to play it like that.
He played him as a Jew liking Patton.
That was the original working title.
Barbara Hershey.
Barbara Hershey.
Oh, Barbara Hershey.
She's Jewish. Right?
She was Barbara Siegel first.
Yes.
Then
whoa.
Siegel.
No, she became Barbara Siegel.
Oh, she became Barbara Siegel.
Because she saw
that's right.
a dead seagull
you are correct.
On the
no
beach.
No way.
You are correct.
And believed that the soul of the seagull entered her body.
No, so you're making this up.
No, I wish.
Really?
Google it, people.
Yeah. She was originally Barbara Hershey. She saw a dead seagull, believed that seagull's soul entered her body, and then changed the name to Barbara Siegel.
Wow. So how did George Siegel pick his name?
He
was playing the banjo. We all know that.
Yeah.
He was playing some low-end bluegrass.
Yes.
My accountant knows how to play the banjo bluegrass.
I like George Siegel movie that I like is Bye Bye Braverman.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
That's one of his first ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got, what's his name? Sorrel Book.
Oh, Sorrel Book from The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
Right.
Joseph Wiseman and Jack Warden.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Is that Paul Mazursky movie?
No.
Sidney Lumet.
Sidney Lumet. Yeah.
You're right.
And Alan King is in it.
Now,
And Godfrey Cambridge.
It took me years to figure out that Alan King was a movie actor. Like, I never thought of him as a movie actor.
Oh, a lot of movies. Yeah.
He's in that movie with Ali McGraw that Sidney Lumet made.
Really?
Just Tell Me What You Want.
Oh, yes.
And Henry directed him in that Memories of Me with Billy Crystal.
Wow.
Oh, and he was in Casino with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, that I know. Yeah. That I know.
Now, speaking of movies, Dave.
Go ahead.
You've been in a few movies.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard you say that you don't think of yourself, you don't think you're much of an actor.
Oh, I'm a horrible actor. I really don't get it. I have no idea what's going on there, and I don't even know why people want to do it. I understand that, like, people want to be famous, and that, like, if you're the top, like, 15 actors in the world, you make a lot of money, and, you know, it's amazing and all that kind of stuff. But I have no idea what people get out of it. It's so unlike stand-up.
But you were in, of course, the classic Pootie Tang, which Gilbert and I were discussing before.
Gilbert, I can't believe you weren't in that movie. It's kind of like a comics movie.
Oh, yes. I guess they didn't see me as a comic.
That was Louis, I like to call it Boy Louis, when he was a really young guy, because he's always younger than me. But he must have been, like, I don't know, like 30, if that. And he directed a movie, and I remember them, he was getting a lot of trouble from the studio, and they wanted to take the movie away from him or something like that. But it was amazing how confident he was in directing this movie. And let's face it, it's not the greatest movie, but there's some great moments in that movie.
Well, for people who haven't seen it, it's a parody of blaxploitation movies of the 70s.
Right. Now they would consider that a hate crime.
Yeah. Yes.
if you see the movie, make sure to turn your way away from it.
what part did you play?
I played the underling of the evil white guy who was trying to destroy Pootie Tang, and that guy was also he was a 70s actor,
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
The Man
Robert
from U.N.C.L.E.
Vaughn.
Robert Vaughn.
Oh, right.
Yes, and that was cool, and he was a really cool dude. And I remember asking him something on the set, and I'm not a big I asked him some kind of acting thing. I didn't know what to ask him or something like that. And he was like, you just show up, you know, something like one of those, I'm a good actor, so I really don't care. And then I realized, I said, like, you know what? I'm going to take it a step further. I'm not going to show up.
Yeah.
All right. I don't care about this.
Robert Vaughn also starred in Teenage Caveman.
Correct.
Yes.
And he's in The Magnificent Seven.
Oh,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a great. Yes. Yeah. That had a big influence on me, too. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my problem with The Magnificent Seven.
Go ahead.
It starts out as the coolest picture ever.
Yeah.
I mean, all those guys are at their coolest.
Yul Brynner.
Toughest, and Bronson. Charles Bronson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my favorite.
Oh, yeah. And then I don't understand the middle section where the Mexicans win.
Yeah.
They take away all their guns from the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they decide not only not to kill them, but to give them their weapons back.
Oh, the banditos you're talking about.
Yeah.
The bad Mexicans.
That's when the movie lost me.
I have like a love-hate with that movie because I did watch it with my gardener. And he seemed to tune out. He liked the middle, did not like the beginning nor the end. No, I love that movie. That was like The Wild Bunch, that whole like kind of like border Mexico kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love that time. Like they're all like, they're like, once again, they're like renegade guys, much like the Three Stooges. They're like ex-military guys or something, and they're down in Mexico. It's like their last chance.
Well, like the Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty Dozen, another great
Kelly's
one.
Heroes is another one.
Kelly Savalas, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like him better as a TV star on Kojak, or do you like him as a movie guy? Because as a movie guy, he really rocks with the character stuff, you know?
I like him as the guy being stalked by the killer doll in that Twilight Zone.
Talking
Tina.
That's right.
That's another show that really was
was a Russian guy, and I don't know if it was called, like, Horror Train.
Oh, the Horror Express.
Horror Express.
Sure.
A Hammer film,
it was written by my old film school professor.
Oh,
I like to mention him since you brought it up.
Yes.
But that was the time in I guess, show business where, like, only, like, five ugly guys were allowed in.
Oh, you know.
Now it's like it's a fug-off out there. I'm not even that bad looking now compared to some of the uglies.
Do you know who Telly Savalas' niece is?
No.
Jennifer Aniston.
No way.
Oh, I did know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about, I guess, ugly skips a generation.
Yeah, really.
She's Greek.
She is a Greek.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're related, believe it or not. Because she's actually bald.
She is. Wow.
And sucks on lollipops during the day.
So let me ask you, since you guys are the experts, okay, now, Zero Mostel, who was in, you know, a Mad World. No, he wasn't in that.
No, he's in The Producers.
He was in The Producers.
Yes.
Which is probably one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Did you guys see that in a theater, or did you see that on TV?
I saw it on TV.
Oh, you did?
That was a great movie.
I would love to have seen that movie in a theater. Like, that's one of the few. Because I don't go to movies now. Me and Jessica, we both do not like to go. We like to watch it at home in our own sad worlds. We don't like to go to movies.
Well, like, there's certain, getting back to, like, Charles Bronson.
Go ahead.
I saw Death Wish when it first came out.
In a movie here in Manhattan?
Yes. No, in a movie in Brooklyn.
Oh.
And New York was a shitty place back then.
Yeah.
75 or 74, I think. Yeah, that movie.
And I felt like... You can't get the impact now, what Death Wish meant back then.
Yeah.
Like, the audience would go out of their minds when he'd shoot down a mugger.
They loved it.
Yeah, they would go nuts in the theater. They were screaming and applauding and cheering.
So, you know, I would say that, you know, you invited me in to talk about a lot of things, and I'd have to say that we should probably give the Planet of the Apes...
Yes.
It's time. So how old were you when you first experienced the, you know, POA?
I saw it. I went with my father.
You did?
Wow. You never told me this.
I was very small. I went with my father, and I loved the first one.
First one was shocking.
Yeah.
Shocked me.
Yeah. I loved the first one. After that, I felt like I totally lost interest in all those sequels.
What are you talking about?
Well, here's my favorite thing of Planet of the Apes, is they tried to get political and put a civil rights message in it, but they would have the apes as servants, so as to protect. To say something good and protect black people, we're comparing them to apes.
Right.
In these movies.
I saw that. I saw that a bit.
And I thought...
Mostly in the hairstyles and the clothes.
That's in right from the beginning, though. I mean, that's in the novel.
Yes.
I mean, it's there right from the first film.
But I thought they're making a civil rights message, but they are saying that black people are apes, according to this book.
Well... I kind of look past that for just the amazing coolness of the actual movie, and
you like the sequels.
I love Beneath the Planet of the Apes
with James Franciscus.
Yes, James Franciscus, Return to the Planet of the Apes. I like all of them, and then I even watched the Ape TV show that was on.
Oh God,
went on for a long time.
Oh my God,
that probably jumped the shark.
I remember Claude Akins.
Yes,
was one of the apes. And
how did they get him, you think? I mean, he was a big star at that point, no?
Yeah, Claude Akins was great.
Ricardo Montalban's in the third one.
Oh, yes.
He was excellent.
Right.
I think Paul Williams.
He's one of the apes.
No way.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yes, I believe he's one of the orangutans.
Yeah.
The learned ape.
It may be in the third one or the... By the Battle of the Planet of the Apes, which was the fifth one, I was gone.
All those sequels, when they start going, well, this is back in time, but in the future, back in time, and there's been a mishap, and we went backwards on the planet. And
you don't like any of that.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing.
I like it. Like, here's another movie. We're talking about Charlton Heston, who was a huge, great, you know, I didn't see the new Moses movie, but I assume.
He showed his ass.
He did.
In Planet
he did. With
That's
Nova,
right.
That girl, another girl, super hot.
Oh,
not a Jew.
I
assume she's not a Jew.
Yeah, she was totally hot.
She was
girl.
Either married or she was the girlfriend of one of the studio executives.
Oh, that makes
That's
sense.
Why she was in that film.
But Omega Man, which is another really important movie.
Oh, with the zombies.
Yeah. There was like a before zombie. But it also had like a cult thing to it, the pandemic. You know, it had to touch on a lot of today's issues. There is a interracial coupling of Charlton and this like super hot African-American one with an afro, like 70s style. And, you know, I just have to say that I know he's known as like this kind of right wing, you know, gun guy. But that movie was awesome. I loved it.
Well, he marched for civil rights, Charlton Heston.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Ooh. And it was kind of unfair when, like, Michael Moore ambushed him.
Sure.
And it because he wasn't a racist.
He's not a racist.
Yeah.
He was a gun nut. He was a gun nut.
Oh, yeah.
He's
a gun nut. Yeah, he liked guns, yeah. But yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But, you know.
But you're packing now, aren't you?
Yeah, I can't see why you wouldn't.
I'm talking to Dave right now, and I want to shoot him.
Well, I don't blame you. But wait, hold on. There's something about the, you know, movies are remade for our times. Like The Omega Man was remade with, I believe, Denzel. No, who was?
Oh, well, Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Right.
Now, why did it have to be Will Smith? And I'm not saying he's not bad, but that remake was not that good.
No.
I mean, there was that dog in it with the butterfly. That was interesting, but, you know, it's cute.
And then, but wasn't it, was The Omega Man also... Wasn't that also the Vincent Price?
That was called. I think there was another one with
Last
Vincent Price
Man
called
on
The
Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, yes. That's the original of it. And Last Man on Earth. What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
there's no bad Vincent Price as far as Gilbert's concerned.
I love the Tingler.
What's that?
Yeah,
just saw it.
It's this really cheap horror film.
Oh.
And the Tingler is this, like, rubber. It looks like a rubber centipede.
It's the worst.
and it's believed through real advanced science that when someone is scared, a Tingler lives on their spine and will crush them and kill them unless they scream. And there's one part of the movie where a Tingler gets loose in a movie theater.
Oh, wow.
And William Castle, who produced it, had buzzers
in the
seats. So he'd buzz people. And so it was a double thing. Like, because he gets loose in a theater, and Vincent Price goes in the movie, the Tingler is loose in the theater. Scream. Scream for your lives. The Tingler. It's scream. Scream for your lives. And everyone would scream. And then my favorite part, after the Tingler gets loose in the theater and he's yelling for them to scream, they capture the Tingler. And Vincent Price says in the movie, which also takes place in a movie theater, the Tingler has been captured. The movie will resume shortly.
And the Tingler is the worst looking prop in the history.
It's so obviously pulled on a string.
Just awful. And I have a great affection for William Castle, but that movie, you could barely get through it. It's like grade Z.
I don't know.
The Tingler.
I was half listening. Now, the Tingler, it's not like a Danny Thomas thing. It's not some weird sex. I'm going to pull a Tingler on her.
The Tingler is loose in my asshole. Oh, scream.
Let's talk a little bit about stand-up, Dave. First of all, I'd be curious, how did you and Gilbert...
No, let's just talk about the Tingler.
How did you guys meet? You remember meeting?
I think, like, you know, as a young boy comic, I probably ran into Gilbert a couple of times, probably at Catch a Rising Star, the old Catch a Rising Star. But, you know, stand-up-wise, you know, he is an icon. He is a legend. And, you know, what I love about Gilbert is, you know, he does not retreat. You know, I consider myself, you know... I've done the easy joke to get out of a horrible situation, but I don't think Gilbert ever does that. I don't even know if he's even built to do that. So he is kind of like you know, you are the Ahab. You're going to find that whale.
As I pointed out the other day, he's the only comic that's still doing funny Asian voices.
Yes.
In his act.
Some things need to be said.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. I'm controlling that thing.
No, I was just going to ask. Well, Gilbert got on stage for the first time at 15, which we've talked about a lot on the show.
Wow. At 15, I had no desire to be in show business at all. I wanted to be like a helicopter pilot or, I don't know, something with dirt bikes.
And
I thought.
Before we forget, because you mentioned Ahab.
Yeah.
What do you do in your world, man?
Good. I never...
Well, you know, Gregory Peck,
never did Gregory Peck
hated himself in that movie.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard him.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I thought it was a fun movie.
And Orson Welles turns up.
Oh, yes, that one. As the preacher.
You bet. And Richard Basehart.
Yes. And I love Gregory Peck in Boys from Brazil.
Yes.
That's a good
great.
One.
That's a great. That's a definitely on the Jew.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Jew, paranoid yes. Jew. Yeah, I love that one. And what's QB7? Do you remember that? Who's the guy in that?
Oh.
Anthony Hopkins.
My favorite. Ben Gazzara.
Yes.
Ben Gazzara yes. and Anthony Hopkins.
I wonder, you know, because Ben Gazzara has like a very like varied career. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like from the Chinese Bookie movie.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, sure.
To, and Run for Your Life.
To a couple of those kind of like Fantasy Island kind of TV movies yeah. that he did, you know. I'm not sure. Was he in Rosemary's Baby? No, I don't think so.
No,
he wasn't.
He should have been.
Yeah, but he...
Cassavetes.
You know, Cassavetes.
Who worked with him a lot yeah. was in Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, he must have been like a great, fun guy to hang out with, like a good drinker and party guy. Like he must have been like a classic like 50s party guy. Let's, you know... Do some Benadryl and drink some scotch.
He was also in a movie, I think he was in Convicts 4.
That sounds right.
Was it? With Sammy Davis Jr. and Rod Steiger.
Sammy Davis.
And what was that guy, Tim Carey? What's that guy?
Timothy Carey.
Timothy Carey was right. in that too.
Right.
Sammy Davis lost his eye in a car accident. I don't remember
yeah.
as
oh,
a kid.
And it gets back to Jews. Yeah. Because I think the one who visited him, was it Jeffrey Hunter or was it
wow.
Jeff Chandler maybe?
Wow.
Oh, visited
you got me there.
Him and he put a Star of David in his hand.
Really?
And he was like in a coma or something and he was clutching
wow.
the Star of David. And then when he got out of the coma, yeah. it was like, you know, in his hand.
Jeffrey Hunter was Jewish.
What?
Jeffrey Hunter was Jewish.
Jeffrey Hunter.
Had no idea.
Wow.
Jeff Chandler. What? Jeff Chandler. Was a Jew.
Wow.
Jeff Hunter.
Our research team is looking it up.
Yes. On your porn show, you should have had Jew on Jew action.
I did. I had the Jews of porn. I was so stupid. I should have gotten you on that show.
You should have.
I don't know what happened.
He knows the topic.
I guess you probably looked at me and said, no way. He's a
yeah, that Bible thumper.
Yeah.
I really apologize about that because you would have added a different take on the whole porn thing. Now, I assume that you've seen porn. In theaters like Times Square, like you talk about 70s.
The first,
I know you're ladies here right now.
Blink
your answer.
Yes. The first two porn films I saw was a double feature.
Go ahead.
Deep Throat. And The Devil and Miss Jones.
Yes. And Georgina Spelvin.
And you had her on the show.
Yes, we had her on the show. She lived an amazing life, this woman. She was a copywriter. She, of course, went into it trying to be an actress. You know, like, she was a theatrical actress. And in the 70s, a lot of the 60s and 70s, the golden age of porn, a lot of these people, these actors in the porn were basically, you know, like I guess you can call them like improvisational actors, street theater kind of people, something like that. And then, it was like one of those things where it was like more rebellion and art than it was porn. And I love those old movies, man. I love her. She was in her late 30s when she started doing porn.
I was kind of friends with what's his name? Jamie Gillis.
I love him.
Jamie Gillis.
Jewish.
Jamie Gillis. We got into a long talk.
Yeah.
About he said that there were so many Jewish actors. He said the actresses would usually be Catholic.
Yes.
The actors, there were a lot of like
Jews.
Robert the star of A Deep Throat.
Harry Reams.
Harry Reams. He was a
gone
Jew.
Gone but not forgotten.
He was a Jew, yep. Harry Reams. Of course, Ron Jeremy.
Right. Paul Thomas.
Yeah.
P.T. Let's see who else. Herschel Savage.
Savage. You had him on the show, too.
You did.
Did you have him on the show?
Yes, we did.
Yes. Not
yeah,
us.
We did.
No, not
Jews
us.
Porn. No, Herschel's, these guys are all great guys, but you're right. It was mostly Jewish guys and then like these super hot Catholic girls.
Yes.
You know? Which is amazing. Bridget Loves Bernie, if you will.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
With a reference.
With a Jew married
to a lesbian. Yeah, but with penetration. Now, is that when you... it's interesting because there was a lot of those kind of like couple comedies back then. Loves Bernie.
Watched that one.
You would never watch that
one. That wasn't on long, Bridget Loves Bernie.
And remember when David Bernie became Serpico?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. He was in the spinoff. Yeah.
David Toma?
Toma. Tony Macente.
Very good.
What was the whole point of Toma, that he could solve any crime with his kind of Italian looks? His Italian,
it was kind of
Jewish,
we don't have
Israeli.
The rights to Serpico, so we're going to make a Serpico knockoff.
I love the movie Serpico. When I first moved to Manhattan in the 80s, I was like, I want to Serpico, man. I want to see that kind of, I love that old New York.
Oh.
I thought I'd be like eating food on a rooftop.
Oh, yes.
With a nurse.
Now, speaking of Tony Macente, were you a fan?
I think it was Musante.
Musante.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that a wine or what is that?
Oh,
by the way, Robert Kerman, also another Jew.
Yes.
Born Debbie Does Dallas.
We'll come back to Dave's.
Were you a fan, as I was, of Pope of Greenwich Village?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was such a great movie.
Eric Roberts' greatest performance.
Brooke Shields is in it, correct?
No. What's her name? The mermaid.
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about the gypsy in New York.
And
Macente is holding his Eric Roberts' hand to the fence while another guy cuts off his thumb.
Right.
They took my thumb, Charlie.
See, now that to me is 80s comedy right there.
Yeah.
What if they didn't take his thumb? What if they took his pinky? It would sound a little bit like this. They took my pinky.
They pushed me. They pushed me hard.
Because, you know, Frank, when I was starting comedy, I would play governors on Long Island besides the open mics in New York.
You're a Long Islander like me.
Yeah, and the Long Island comedy, it was a lot of impressions, a lot of, Karate Kid, wax on, wax off kind of jokes.
Oh, yes.
And I always wondered, Gilbert, how did you kind of develop into who you are with that kind of,
I started off doing, like, impressions.
You did. Like, who? Who would you
do? Okay. I did.
Give us a year so we'll know, the impression. Go ahead.
Well, see, that's it.
So you're 15. So who are you doing impressions
of? Mine were, even back then, I was not contemporary.
You were.
Because I would do, like, Boris Karloff and Humphrey Bogart and Peter Lorre. Mm. And so
at 15,
you
were on stage doing Peter Lorre impressions.
I was I was a 15-year-old, totally dated.
Wow.
Peter Lorre, what was he? Was he German or a French?
He was a German Jew.
German Jew, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Laszlo Lowenstein was his name. And he came over here on the same boat with what's his name, the great German director, Metropolis.
Fritz Lang.
Fritz Lang.
Give us a little Peter Lorre for Dave and I.
Yes. Oh, okay. There was, one of my favorite lines of Peter Lorre. In Maltese Falcon. No, it's you who ruined it. You, it's your attempt to buy it. Kevin found out how valuable it was. You plundering fathead.
Wonderful.
What I would like is when they would take like somebody serious like that, and then he would be on another show, and then they'd be like, use him for funny.
Yes.
Oh, sure. The Corman pictures used him for comedy.
Yeah, Peter Lorre became, sadly, like one of these like self-parodies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know a guy I also really love? Sal Mineo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
He's jumping way ahead.
Yeah. It's okay.
I loved him in the movie Exodus.
Yes.
He played like some kind of a boy prostitute. I don't know. My parents never really explained it to me.
No, in real life, he came
to a sad end.
Horrible.
Yeah, he was just beaten to death.
Horrible in Hollywood.
In front of his house, I think.
In a carport. So going back to Dave's old porn.
Sure.
You had Georgina Spelvin on the show, our friend Ron Jeremy, Seika.
Yes.
The great Nina Hartley.
Yep.
And
a Jew. Nina Hartley,
really?
Jewish.
I heard that. Yes.
Grew up in Berkeley, in California, and really cool parents.
Did you see that deep? I didn't see that Deep Throat movie.
You didn't see it?
No. Amanda Seyfried one.
Oh no, I didn't see
it.
But I love her.
Picture.
She's so hot.
Amanda Seyfried though is so much more attractive than Linda Lovelace was.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Linda Lovelace, she was whatever. She never did it for me. Seika does it for me every time.
Oh yeah.
Like I know Seika. She is like a super cool, smart, intelligent lady. But I love her porn. I watch it all the time.
Couldn't get Stacey Donovan on the show, huh?
You know, if it went further, I would love
to. She became a whistleblower against the porn industry.
Oh, and I had heard this.
Turncoat.
Yeah.
I had heard that Tracy Lords,
yes,
when they were destroying her films and getting rid of them because she was underage. Someone said, and I don't know if this is true, they said they think Tracy Lords is the one who turned them in so that she could, her movies would make more money.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Maybe. I know that that did great.
Jew. Tracy Lords.
Is
Jew.
She?
Yes.
Wow.
Hot looking Jew, too. She was a hot looking porn actress.
I'm going to have to look at the porn again. I'm going to have to watch it with my Cantor.
I was in.
So Jewish.
I was in. A terrible reality show where we spend a night in an abandoned insane asylum.
What is it called? Comic strip?
Yeah.
Comic strip live.
And one of the other celebs was Tracy Lords.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, we're all around a candle to get in touch with the spirit of this serial killer who roams the place. And Tracy Lords actually has to say, because she has to be the host to the host, you know, like how in Ghost, like he enters Whoopi Goldberg's body.
Right.
And so so Tracy Lords is going, please come in me. Please come in me. And she did it very well rehearsed.
She had a little legitimate movie career for 5 minutes.
Oh, yes.
She was in John Waters, used her in Cry Baby.
And she was on Married with Children.
Right,
she
right.
popped up.
Wait, who's the, you know, Carol Connor, right?
Sure.
Her daughter.
Yes, from Hole in the Fence.
Yeah, can you guys explain it to me? There was like a wave of guys with like girly names, like Carol, Stacey Keach.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and
yes.
What was that about?
Leslie Nielsen.
There's another
Nielsen.
One. Very good.
Yes.
There was like a lot of like men, but with girl names. And I guess that was something. Was it that their parents, like they didn't want them or they wanted a girl or something? I don't get it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, so more about comedy?
Yes.
Yeah, so I did comedy for like 7 years in the open mics, and I used to watch Colin Quinn a lot and, you know, Alan Havey and all those guys. But I was never really good at it, like right away, but I did it every night. I had a regular job and all that kind of stuff. But I must have run into Gilbert or seen him at Catch Rising Star like a couple of times, and, you know, he was already like a legend. I mean, this is like, you know, the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. And I would say that, you know, were you doing that Up All Night show at that point?
Yeah.
You know, with Elvira?
You were doing that in the 80s.
Yeah. Was that Up All Night?
Yeah. I was doing it with, on Saturday, I'd be on Sunday, on Friday, Ron DeShear was on.
Ron DeShear.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've heard you say you weren't the funny guy in school, Dave, that you really weren't a born performer.
No, I'm not.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't think you're the funny guy.
See, there you go. Finally, an honest opinion. Finally. No, I had a great sense of humor, and but I wouldn't call myself the class clown or anything like that.
Whenever people ask me about class clown, I always think that the class clowns are the ones who grew up to be the funniest guy at their job.
Yeah, that's true. Like an insurance or something like that. I understand that. But I don't see you. I see you as an aloof loner in your school, right?
Yeah, I was
maybe,
James Dean.
I could see you like.
You were, huh?
Yes, yeah.
I James could see you Dean. Talking and crying to a Wolfman poster.
Pretty
Wolfman.
Much.
Wolfman.
Yep.
Look in the
I've got
right
a
here.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Frankenstein.
Look no farther.
But
who's
I.
Jewish?
But I. Oh. Well, let's see. Peter Lorre was a Jew. I want to see other Jews in horror. There was one Jewish Dracula.
Who?
That was Francis Lederer, who
really?
Starred in the movie Return of Dracula.
And what years are we talking? In the 30s?
That must have been like about the 50s.
Oh, okay.
Return of
That's
Dracula.
All right. That's a good time to be Jewish.
Did not know there was a Jewish Dracula.
Oh, but what I was saying is Lang.
Fritz Lang.
Fritz Lang and Peter Lorre were on the same boat coming to America.
Really?
Yeah. With and not the movie with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
Which is a great movie when you look back on it. You know, they really caught the whole immigration thing. I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, let me ask you about Jerry Lewis.
Yes.
Now, did you work with him at all, ever?
never actually worked with him. I performed at his roast and stuff like that. Never worked with him.
Because I loved his movies growing up.
I did too.
All of the Patsy, which is one of his lesser known movies, the Patsy.
Oh,
right?
yes.
Great movie.
That was where he becomes a star.
They train him to be a comic.
And Peter Lorre is in
That's right.
And John Carradine.
Oh, there you go.
And Hans Conried.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. And the Patsy is a movie that shows how they take this nobody
and
they make him into a star.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, very funny.
I also like the, the one that's shot all in black and white? It's kind of his, like,
The Bellboy?
Yeah, The Bell. I love that movie.
Great movie.
I love that movie. And the cool thing about it is that he even said it himself, where he plays himself as a star and how people react to him. You know, like everybody's trying to light a cigarette and all that kind of stuff. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And I, you know, who doesn't like
The Nutty Professor.
The Nutty Professor is a classic.
Great.
Who was the girl in that? She was definitely not Jew.
Stella Stevens.
Totally hot.
Not a Jew.
Not a Jew at all.
Not at all.
And Stella Stevens in Poseidon Adventure.
That's right.
She climbs and jumps and gets wet in her white underwear.
Wow.
Through the whole movie.
Good to know.
Great.
Stayed with you, huh?
Yeah. Also, oh, yeah.
That's one of Ernest Borgnine's. Like, he must have been, like, in his 50s at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
He was the best. He really was.
And Red Buttons.
Like, what was Ernest Borgnine? He was, like, part bulldog, part just amazing.
Yes.
I mean, he just, like, always looks the same, but he's always, even as a young boy, I believe he looked like that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know he was married to Ethel Merman, briefly, Ernest Borgnine?
Really?
Which picturing the sex there is pretty hard.
I think our pal Drew Friedman has a cartoon of of the two of them copulating.
But if we could talk about Shelley Winters for just a quick second.
Yes.
First of all, I never saw Toadie Fields, but I assume they were in the kind of same body type.
Yeah.
Do you know Toadie?
Yeah. Toadie's the one who lost her leg.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever work with Toadie?
No, never worked with Toadie. Yeah.
She supposedly was an amazing joke writer and performer, so I think that we should not only look at the missing leg, but also the act. And I'll throw all of them out there. I'll put Phyllis Diller and Joan Rivers up there as, like, great joke people. I love watching them on the old Carsons. I like that. I used to watch
Oh, yeah. Kid.
And, you did Johnny Carson, right?
Never did
you
Carson.
You didn't?
Never.
Wow.
Did you ever do the show with a different host, with Leno hosting?
No. Never did the Tonight Show back then.
Right.
Is that on your list of regrets besides that shirt you're wearing? I know this is not a visual podcast. Like I said, I'm not the funniest guy. I'm going for the easy laugh.
Speaking of writing jokes, Dave, let's just talk a little bit about, I'm curious personally about your writing process.
Me?
And how you just, do you keep a pad? Do you have a discipline about this kind of thing? Stuff that comes fly?
I do so many sets now that I try and just bring new stuff up there and then kind of like work it out, listen to the tape and kind of fix it, you know, like just honing the, you know, the joke over and over. But back in the day, like when I first started, I would sit at the table and just like write in the notebook. And I never got anything good out of it. But the whole idea was like, it was kind of like purging my mind of the bad ideas, you know, of like the bad jokes. And it took me a long time to really kind of figure out what a joke is and what a joke isn't. And, you know, I was watching like really great comics like Schimmel and
Robert Schimmel. We love
Schimmel
him.
And who, by the way, I think is one of the most underrated comics ever. Schimmel.
One of my favorites.
And Richard Jenny, both who are no longer with us, were great joke people and like bits and, you know, huge chunks. And when you watch them, you'd see like how much material you can pull out of one topic. And I thought that was really important for me, especially as a kind of boring white guy on stage. You know, there's a million white guys up there. So
Gilbert and I met when I was working for Rich Jenny.
Oh, that's right.
I worked for him too.
Yeah, well, you wrote for a Caroline's Comedy Hour. I was on the staff the season after you.
I remember being out of town.
That's when we met.
And I was in a mall. And in the mall was some radio station that I wasn't booked. I was just walking past, and I see this really young girl, very cute-looking young girl, playing with her puppy on the floor. And at first I thought, oh, she's kind of hot-looking, and I shouldn't be looking at her because this girl's obviously, you know, total
underage.
Jailbait, or totally underage. And so I look, and then I look away, and I'm walking away, and she goes, oh, wait. I think you know my boyfriend.
Really?
And I said to her, who's your boyfriend? She goes, Robert Schimmel.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say Richard Jenny for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So how old was she, you think?
12.
But how old was the puppy? Because if you combine the two ages. That's a great story, man. That was in a mall? Somewhere?
Yeah. Mm.
Richard had a few young girlfriends himself.
Oh, yeah.
Jenny, over the years.
Well, you know.
Do you remember when we met working on that sketch?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, where I was Robert
Gilbert,
Redford.
Gilbert came on the show and was Robert Redford in an indecent proposal parody when Rich was hosting.
Bobby Redford, The Sting.
Oh, yeah. Hated The Sting.
Really?
Like hated The Sting.
How about
Sting?
Paul Newman? Do you like him?
I like Paul Newman.
Jewish.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And he was married to that
Jewish
woman. Who is she? Who is she?
Joanne Woodward.
Joanne Woodward, yeah.
Yeah. They were like one of Hollywood's most successful couples.
I like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Love
Kid.
It.
Didn't like The Sting.
That's interesting.
Hustler.
Why did you
movie
not like The Sting? Because you've lived through a con in the Depression?
Yeah.
What's his name was in it? The guy from Jaws.
Oh,
Shaw. Robert Shaw.
Robert
yes
Shaw. Yeah.
Great.
Gilbert's mad because he was up for the Ray Walston part. Yeah. He didn't get it.
Oh, my God. You know, can we just jump over to Jaws for a second? That is one of the best movies ever made.
Yes.
I have to tell you. Who is the guy who played the cop again?
Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider.
My favorite, a Jew, and I loved him.
No, he wasn't a Jew.
He's not?
He was a German.
Oh, no.
German.
Really? Oh, yeah, I get it now.
Richard Dreyfuss, of course.
Well,
Jew.
Yeah, he's like two yeah Jews. Yeah, he's like a Jew, whatever, sampling of Jews.
Two Jews in one.
But what's his name? Scheider was in, Scheider or Scheider?
Scheider.
Scheider.
The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz.
Duddy Kravitz,
yes.
A great
That's a
movie.
Good one.
Yeah.
With
Jack Warden.
Jack Warden.
And I think, was Joseph Weissman also
I
in
think
that?
He is.
Wow.
I think he is.
Now, that's not a date movie.
Now,
is it
Joseph,
The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz?
Joseph Weissman.
Big makeout film.
I think would be in the category of only Jewish Bond villain.
Who?
He was Dr. No.
He was Dr. No.
Wow.
Let's see. I have to get back to you on that one.
That's
and
crazy.
But there are two Jewish Bond girls.
Who?
Barbara Bach, who's married to Ringo.
Yes. She's Jewish?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Jane Seymour.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. Two Jews.
I thought she was English.
Yeah. Well, you could be an English Jew.
Gert Frobe wasn't Jewish. Goldfinger.
What about Scheider? He was in 7-Ups, right?
The 7-Ups, yep.
7-Ups,
yep.
And then he was in, what's
Marathon
his name?
Man.
Marathon
That's
Man,
right.
Great.
Great movie.
Great, great
well, what's the other one movie, you know, Picking the Toes in Poughkeepsie? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the French Connection.
I love those movies.
That's right.
I love it. That made me want to go to France or do heroin, but not both.
Oh, well,
was
that was
such
French
a great
Connection,
movie
too.
That was, yeah. That's when they got him hooked.
Yeah.
I love that movie. That was such a good. That's old New York too. That's like
the interesting thing about Jaws is that Robert Shaw was the replacement actor. We talked about that in the cab the other day.
Who was the first guy? Dabney Coleman,
Sterling Hayden from The Godfather,
yeah.
who played McCluskey, the cop, the crooked cop in The Godfather,
wow,
was cast as Quint, but the studio, he was a wild man.
Yeah,
the studio wouldn't insure him.
And they were considering for a short time Charlton Heston. But they thought
no
he
way
might take away from... No, they were considering him for the sheriff.
Interesting.
But that would take away because you'd say, well, of course Charlton Heston can beat up a shark. You know, it's like...
I think he was still recovering from doing El Cid.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie. I really learned a lot about Spain and the Moors back then, I believe.
Oh, and Soylent Green.
Oh, yeah, it's a
great
one.
A great one with some amazing... Very soft core.
Edward G. Robinson.
Yes.
Jew.
No way.
Yes.
Very much so.
Oh, wow. James Cagney, no?
No.
Irish.
No.
Orphan.
But he could speak Yiddish, James
really?
Cagney.
Mm.
Edward G. Robinson was something like Edward Rosenberg or something.
Oh, boy.
Big liberal. Yeah. Edward
yes
G. Robinson. Big
oh,
liberal.
Yes.
Big lefty.
Yes.
Like a Reds. Like Reds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He. I think he sold Secrets of the Atom.
He did. He was Ethel Rosenberg's babysitter.
Dave, let's talk a little bit about Insomniac,
mm-hmm,
just for listeners.
Humphrey Bogart was married to a Jew.
There you go.
Yeah, but he
was.
He must have had that old school kind of like Jews. I don't know. I could take him or leave him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has that look.
How did Insomniac?
Jews. I could take him or leave him. Sometimes I like the Jews, and sometimes I think they should be wiped off the planet, but she's a hot-looking Jew, so I think I'll take it.
What's that movie where he's wearing a bow tie? He looks like a dope, but even though he's cool.
Oh, he...
Is the sports reporter?
Yes, the Heart of the Fall. The Heart with Rod Steiger and Nehemiah Persoff.
Oh, was that a vitamin? What is that a name?
It's a character actor.
Okay, so the Insomniac thing.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
I just wanted to do a show because I'm not a good actor where, it was like kind of like the comics after the show go out drinking and then add the element of like third shift people working late. And, it was kind of good because it's like a travel show, but it's also kind of a drinking show. And, that seems to be the one credit that people like, really dig. A lot of people keep coming up to me like I was a little kid, and my parents wouldn't let me watch it, but we'd sneak down and watch that show. So that's like the credit that people like seem to really, get of my
career. Well, you were
funny
on that show.
Yeah, no, it was all unscripted, and the guys who helped me make it, I can say their names, Dave Hamilton, and I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Watch your language on this show.
Are you allowed to curse on
this? Yes, absolutely.
The guys.
Don't say cunt. please.
The guys who made the producers and all the people who worked on the show were super cool, and like we were out there like for nights and nights and nights all night long, and it was a lot of work. And all I can say is that it was a great show for its time. I don't think at this point, people go, you got to do that show. It's like I'm too old, my kidneys kicked out. I'm like I'm an old man, so I can't do the show. But I like how people like the show, but it kind of like. It's hard to be a stand-up comic because I really want to be a stand-up comic. And then, if a TV credit is kind of bigger than your act, then you kind
of
always
have
to. So, but, I can't thank the people enough for watching it, I guess.
And I remember the Vegas episode, for some reason, comes to mind with you and Pat Morita and Charo.
Pat Morita, God bless his soul.
Yeah.
Great
and,
guy.
And Robin Leach was fucking with you.
Yeah, Robin Leach.
What was that
alive?
About? Yeah.
He was, I have a feeling he's like one of those guys because they all lived in Vegas, so we lucked out. We got them all there. But, I have a feeling that he thought we were going to make fun of him, so he kind of, jumped the gun and kind of gave me a little bit of business. But can I say one thing about Charo? Awesome. Showed up ready to work. Her son was there. I believe her son was, her manager or publicist at the point. And just showed up ready to go, and I love
it. Great.
And Charo's still fuckable.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And, Pat, who, by the way, people know him from the Karate Kid thing, but, he also, I think, moved to Vegas and said kind of I'm gonna, he was a stand-up comic, so he was I think the original Asian comic.
Yeah, I think they called.
I think he opened for Marco Polo, I believe, in China.
Oh! He used to call himself pre-political correctness the hip nip.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah,
that's correct.
That's cool.
And then you did.
And he was a Japanese soldier who wouldn't give up.
Right.
In a flashback episode of The Odd Couple.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes.
Yes.
They told me I'd be making love to Betty Grable on the White House lawn by Christmas.
That was a great show because that was another guys living together, what's going on show.
Yes, yes.
Now, Juskow knows that show way better than me.
He does.
But Klugman and Felix, we both would always have a couple of laughs, which is the fact that they, it shows you how time changes. When they relax, they're still kind of wearing suits.
Oh, yes.
You ever see that?
Like,
I always find that funny that they're still kind of dressed up, for today's times.
Well,
there was no play clothes for adults back then.
Do you remember those horrible later Bob Hope movies? Like, I'll Take Sweden.
Oh, sure.
And boy, did I get the wrong number and cancel my reservation.
The ones Phyllis Diller would show up in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And he would always have one of those ugly 60s suits on.
Who are you talking
about?
And
he'd wear a hat.
Bob Hope.
I love the Bob Hope movies.
Those later ones.
And I'm going to say right now, I think Bing Crosby got sold down the river with his kids saying whatever. I assume at that point every kid was beaten or whatever
but
it was.
Bing Crosby.
Yes. Not a Jew.
I heard both Bob Hope and Bing Crosby hated the Jews. That's what I heard.
Wait, can we go back to the Insomniac for 1 second?
Wait.
So the guys on the show, Nick McKinney and Dave Hamilton, they were the producers, and there was all these other great guys. And we would go out, and like the two episodes that people always bring up are the Nutria Hunt in New Orleans, which is where we hunt these rat kind of things. And then we did this thing in Japan when we did the foreign episodes, which is this penis party with these giant penises.
I remember that one.
So those were like the two things
and
that
the
people
Amsterdam,
always...
when you spun the Wheel of Sin.
Yes, the Wheel of Sin, which has been done many a time since then. So big tip of the hat to all the people who made the show and the people who watch it. So thank you. Go ahead.
Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett.
He doesn't want to talk about you at all, Dave.
Buddy Hackett one time said of Bing Crosby, he said, "You want to know why Bing Crosby beat his kids? Because Bing Crosby couldn't get a hard on."
Really? Yeah. Buddy Hackett was blue.
Good trivia.
He was a blue guy. Do you remember that joke that he had, which is like he's in World War II or whatever? Yeah. He's in World War II and he's having sex with a prostitute, and she's like banging for. Did you tell me this?
Oh no, wait.
Okay, she's banging. She's going back and forth, and he goes, "Are you liking it?" And she's like, "No, you got my scar. Your tie's caught in my vagina or something." Like, it's some kind of weird thing. She's going back and forth.
Your tie caught in my vagina.
That must have been really hard. Because, you know, George Burns, who I was not a very big fan of comedically, you know, but I heard Gracie really carried more than her weight in that relationship. Correct or no?
Yeah, not a Jew, Gracie.
No, not at all.
Yeah, George Burns was a Jew.
Nat Birnbaum.
Yeah.
Nat Birnbaum. He looks better older than he did as a boy.
Yes.
That sucks. I wonder if that's going to happen to me. Will my looks kick in at 70? I hope not. I don't think we're going to make it.
You'll turn into Brad Pitt.
You got anything coming up, Dave, that you want to plug or talk about? DaveAttell.com?
You know what? I'd like to say this. You know, we do these Comedy Underground live shows, and we do them at the Village Underground here in the city and in L.A. at the Comedy Store. And they are a lot of fun. You know, even though that show, we did it for Comedy Central, and they did not give us a yes or no on a new season, which I assume means it's not going to happen. It's still fun to do live. And Gilbert is like such a great, I just love watching him. I'm going to say it, blowing away today's millennial crowd with his references.
His Ted Bessel references?
His Ted Bessels. His Georgie Jessels. His Reagan.
My Elijah Cook Jr. imitation.
These young, I call them Trader Joes. They don't really get what he's talking about. What do you think of the young crowds nowadays?
Oh, these kids.
These kids.
Kids? What you gonna do with these kids? Why can't they be like we were? Perfect in every way. What is wrong with these kids today?
Who's saying that?
Paul Lynn. Thank you.
Oh, Paul Lynn.
Bye-bye, Birdie.
Why can't they dance like we did? What's wrong with Sammy K? What's the matter with kids?
We're going to wrap it up. But do you still do those bits of the act? I'm curious.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you still do the Ben Gazzara extraterrestrial?
No, Ben Gazzara,
he's dead.
I kind of... Right. And I'm doing other dead people in the act.
You know a lot about comedy and everything. What about Danny Kaye? What was
Oh, that's
story?
A whole other show.
Oh,
Dave.
Danny Kaye.
Too much?
Okay. Well,
that's a whole other show.
We could fit this in.
We'll cut somewhere else.
Was he a comedian? Was he a musician?
He was song
and dance man.
So who would he be in today's times? Like a Will I Am or something?
Yeah, just exactly like
he
that.
Would,
I heard he had a sad life. Like he was a sad guy.
He was an angry guy.
Angry.
Yeah.
Now, here's the story I heard, as I heard it. That
it's not Orson Welles.
No,
it can't be him.
Laurence Olivier
and
Danny Kaye used to blow each other, basically.
Can't believe you don't know this stuff, Dave. A veteran of show business like yourself.
And I think before Danny Kaye would stick his dick in Olivier's asshole.
This is sacrilege.
Go, is it safe?
There you go. There's your marathon.
You better tear up your SAG card because you're out of it.
And when Laurence Olivier was jerking off Danny Kaye, he would sing, "Oh, Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing, Thumbelina, sing, dance, Thumbelina, sing." Oh, what's the difference? Thumbelina?
Wait, Danny Kaye was Dutch, right? Was
it? I don't think like
he was a Jew.
Jewish guy
was
from
he?
Brooklyn.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
I think his name was Danielish Jewovich. Now, so one day, Laurence Olivier was flying into some airport,
right?
And Danny Kaye disguised himself in one of his outfits with a nose.
Right, he was a master of disguise.
Wig, uh-huh. And he said, you know, like in a French accent, you know, "I am the security. I want you to take all of your clothes off." And Olivier is highly offended, but he takes all of his clothes off, and then Danny Kaye starts sticking his finger in Olivier's asshole.
Wow.
And then they both had a big laugh, and then they both fucked each other in the ass. After.
Malcolm McDowell told the same story on the Joy Behar show.
I love Malcolm McDowell.
It's a great story.
See, but when Malcolm McDowell told it, he said Olivier was sticking his finger in Danny Kaye's ass.
Ah, yes.
So I would like to think that both of them equally stuck their finger in each other's asshole, because in a relationship, both parties should be equal.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think they should both.
What about Peter O'Toole? What, I mean, like, he was a favorite of mine. You're not going to crush him now.
Danny Kaye fist fucked Peter O'Toole.
I doubt it.
During the making of Lawrence of Arabia,
during my favorite
Danny
year,
Kaye was fist fucking Peter O'Toole.
Danny Kaye, not a nice guy, apparently.
Not, no.
George Carlin used to tell
shit all over his fist.
Never mind, I can't get to it.
Who do you think would win in a fight? Danny Kaye versus Dick
Danny
Van Dyke.
Danny Kaye would win because the shit on his fist when he was punching someone would knock them out.
Wow.
Incredible.
I can't believe it.
Aren't you glad you asked about Danny Kaye?
I know. I didn't know. I didn't know what to say. I thought he was going to have a nice remembrance.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up, but I want you...
When he was fisting a guy, would he go, "I'm Hans Christian Andersen, I bump butter"? Wow. That joke needs a little timing.
Oh, God.
"I'm Fist Christian Andersen."
We'd have to get Malcolm McDowell on the show.
I love him.
To confirm that.
Please do it.
We will try to get him.
How do you get a hold of that guy?
He hosted that horrible, misbegotten season of Saturday Night Live that I was on.
Malcolm McDowell?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes.
That was a scary time period.
You both had scary experiences
at
SNL.
And we fingered each other in
you
the
did.
End.
You did?
Yes. Yes.
I knew that elevator smelled funny.
So you're plugging Comedy Underground with Dave Attell, which is coming back for another season.
No, I don't think it's going to. I think we're just going to do it live, and then people could just go to my site, daveattell.com, and they could see all my dates and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm a road guy, so I'll be out on the road, and always, always glad to talk to you, Gilbert, and please come back to the Comedy Underground show. You're always invited.
I heard.
Go ahead.
when Danny Kaye was fucking Olivia kept hitting his head against the wall. And Buddy Hackett said that Olivier said, "Your tie is stuck in my asshole."
Your scarf. Remember, he's an English actor. Your scarf is stuck in my...
Incredible. Well, wow. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks. I love what you guys do. Keep doing it, please.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for being a part of this, guys.
I'm Gilbert Gottfried. This has been Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast with my co-host, Frank Santopadre. We've been talking about Danny Kaye and Laurence Olivier.
And Georgina Spelvin.
Yes, and Georgina Spelvin all getting it in the asshole. And our guest was Dave Attell.
Thanks, Gilbert. Dave. You were horrific. You're horrible. That I do.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudeen posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.